With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/AndysGirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/AndysGirls. Sign up today.
Erica Jane has left the building, but Dame Gally is still here.
I have everything except morals.
Wait, I want to take that and have it be my own. That could be like a tagline for everyone.
That's my Real Housewives tagline.
You guys, it's Andy's Girls episode, I want to say 61. And what an episode this is. I have to tell you, it's like bucket list, magical wish, dreams are coming true. I am here at the Real Housewives Institute HQ, and I'm so excited to be kikiing with Brian Moylan.
Hi.
Brian Moylan, I like can't even tell you. I like need to call a doctor tomorrow and be like, am I dying? Did no one tell me, but like you connected with Brian to make sure he'd be on the show. I'm so happy to talk all things Bravo with you tonight.
I know, and it like happened so quickly, and I'm glad that you emailed because I'm about to move to London.
You guys, Brian's moving to London to join the cast of Ladies of London, and I'm so excited
for you. Oh my God. Ladies of London, I had a very difficult time with, and so I started like season two, maybe season three, whatever, and instead of like catching up from the beginning, I just dove right in, and I could not tell any of the people apart. It's like they all had the same haircut. They were all,
they're all super white,
Jules,
super blonde.
Yeah, Jules
or
Julia.
One of them's like an aristocrat.
Or,
yeah, one of them lives in Dubai now, and is like doing a reality show. One of the Carolines, I want to say.
Yeah, Caroline Stansbury.
Yeah, is doing a reality show for E. I want to say
about her
like life in Dubai. I'm actually sad that Ladies of London isn't coming back because I thought they were all kind of coming into their own and super Looney Tunes.
Yes.
And I loved it. And now some of them live in LA. And I'm like, what are you doing in LA? You should be in Europe with
your
cast members.
Well, like, I want to be on Ladies of London.
I can't wait for you to move to London Town, be on Ladies of London, become best friends with Megan, our future princess.
She has to hang out with me because we're both American.
Right? And that's how
there are
it
no
rolls.
Other Americans in
there
London.
There's literally not a single American in that country.
Also, their trashy reality television is like so far superior to ours.
What's the one that's like Jersey Shore but not?
Well, there is...
Essex?
There's Geordie Shore, which is like Jersey Shore.
Is it literally called Geordie Shore?
Yeah, because Geordies are like what they call Guidos, and it's called Geordie Shore.
Do they have Guidos in London?
Kind of. But then there's the only way is Essex, which they call Towie, and that's like a combination of Jersey Shore and the hills, because it's like very like staged. But they're all like Guido-y, and they're from Essex, which is like the New Jersey of London.
Oh my God, that sounds horrible. I would watch it every episode over and over and over and over again.
They have another show called Naked Attraction, and it is fucking genius. And so it is like...
What's Naked Attraction?
It's like the dating game.
Is someone naked and there's an attraction?
So it's like the dating game where there's a person and there are three people to choose from. So if it's a woman, a straight woman that's choosing, it's like three dudes. And so then they show you and they're behind a screen in like silhouette and naked. And they raise it up to their knees. And then like based on their knees, she has to make like some assessments, whatever. And then they raise it up like so you can see their junk. And then they like eliminate somebody. You know what I mean?
Wait, based on their cock?
Yeah, based on only like cock down. Like they haven't seen
no
body,
face.
No face, no torso, no nothing.
Which P.S. is like the exact opposite of a third date. Because at that point you've seen the face and then like what are you to do?
I mean,
it's really a conundrum by the time you see what the gentleman suitor is packing. Like at that point you're like, well, fuck. Like, I don't know. Close the door.
And they make the chooser like talk about each one. And so if it's like women, like there's a guy looking at three women, he's like, oh, her like vagina lips are a little whatever.
Oh, I thought it
blah,
was
blah,
just
blah.
Women and
no,
men.
It's
oh,
both.
I don't
it's
like this anymore.
All combinations of like, and they have like gay dudes looking at other dudes and lesbians looking at other girls and you know, whatever. And they run the full gamut. And then eventually they get like to the head and then they like choose or right before the head they choose somebody to go on the date with and then they go on the date like immediately and then they like bone and then they come back and talk about it.
Why not just bone? What's the point of the date? The point of the date is to like get someone interested in having sex with you.
Right.
But if you've already seen their naked body,
right?
And I would eat after.
Well, and the person gets naked. Then at that point, the person doing the choosing also gets naked and they go on a naked date and then they like go and bone. But
this
I think
it's not like, a real thing. Also, I'm moving to London tomorrow.
I mean, this is why they are so far superior to us. It's like, oh my God. God,
America, get your shit together. You used to be something.
I know. We have like naked dating on VH1, but that's not this.
Do we? I know that there was like Naked Wilderness where you're like in a jungle or something.
Naked
and
Afraid. Naked. Oh, that's so good.
I've never seen it.
It's
amazing. I'm afraid enough being naked alone. I don't need to be like in a tree or whatever. Like I don't exactly need that environment, but holy shit. Oh my God. Is this like your last podcast before you leave? Is this an American exclusive? Can we make that up right now?
I'm actually doing I'm doing another podcast tomorrow.
How dare you? Guys, if you are from that podcast and listening, we've just canceled your appointment. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Brian's exclusively ours.
I know. I'm getting all of my, I did some Radio Andes last week.
Oh
I'm
my
getting
God.
It all in before I leave.
What Radio Andes were you on?
I was on the Amy Phillips show, which I've been
Love.
Doing for a long time.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I did it with my boyfriend.
Is he a super fan?
He's a super fan. We met because of The Real Housewives.
Tell me that story immediately.
When I was writing for Gawker.com, he was a reader of Gawker.com. Rest in peace.
I was a big fan of you at Gawker.
Thank you.
Obviously since then, but yeah.
And my boyfriend is friends with Nick Denton, and so he like read my recaps and thought it was funny. And so Nick invited him to a party, so he came to the party because he had like looked up what I looked like and thought I was cute. So he came to the party to like meet me.
This is a Hollywood romance.
I know. And then It's 8 long years later, here
Holy
we are.
Shit.
And we talk about the Housewives more than we talk about any other topic.
That is my dream relationship. I was sort of seeing someone who's like, what are the Real Housewives? And I was like, oh my God, I can't. It's like, there's not enough time in the day. And he goes, oh, so it's like the WWE? Like, I don't get it. And I was like, how dare you?
Erica
How
and I actually
you? But
said
also
that
like
in
maybe.
The book.
that it's like the WWE?
Yes, because she loves wrestling and she was like, Housewives is totally like wrestling. And we had this whole like extended metaphor about how Housewives is like wrestling.
So that's a great segue. First off, I can't wait to read the book on... I'm like saving it like a precious treat on a plane that I'm taking in a couple weeks. Like I'm counting down the days, not for the trip, but because I get to read the book is like my reward for not canceling the trip because I'm afraid of flying. So Brian, in addition to your work as the president of the Real Housewives Institute, which everyone who's anyone is reading all of your recaps, not only for The Real Housewives this season with New York and Beverly Hills, but for Vanderpump Rules, Southern Charm, so many others. They're exceptional, and I want to talk to you about everything. But you also are the co-author of Erica Jayne / Erica Girardi's New York Times bestseller, Pretty Mess.
Yes.
So mazel to you.
Thank you.
How did this relationship start?
She is a fan of the recaps. And so she...
Oh, my God. That makes me die for her even more.
And so was she... They were talking, you know, they... She got this book deal, and they were like, who do you want to co-write it? And she's like, I want to reach out to this guy, Brian Moylan. I love his recaps. I think he's, like, genius.
And you'd never spoken to her.
And so her agent reached out to me, like, through my Facebook fan page. And we set up a call and talked about it. And she asked if I was interested. And then she was like, okay, talk to Erica. So we talked to Erica on my birthday. So I'm, like, in bed on my birthday, and the phone rings. And I answer it. And it's like, hi, Brian. It's Erica. And I was like... Oh my God, Erica Jayne is calling me. And then we like talked about it, and then we met, and she was coming to New York for something, and so we met, and then we decided to like do this, and and then we did contracts and all that other bullshit, but it was like every time my phone would ring, and you know, it says on the phone like Erica Jayne, it would be like,
oh
my God, Erica Jayne's calling me. Yeah, and then I talked to her like every day for months, and it was crazy.
So, and what was that process of writing the book together? Was there anything where she was like, I don't want to talk about this? Or was she hands off with stuff or nervous about stuff? The relationship with her mom, Tom?
There was some stuff that there wasn't anything she was ever like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
But there were definitely some things, especially about her relationship with her mom and her ex and her son and all that like kind of family stuff. Like, obviously she was very careful about, she just didn't want to upset any of the people in her life. And so we were, but she had a very clear perspective about those relationships and how she wanted them to come across. And so, you know, but yeah, so I would just interview her and we would talk and, you know, usually about different subjects. And it's kind of like having her tell me her life story over and over again. And then I sort of grouped everything like thematically and chronologically, and we came up with like an outline, and then it was just like more and more and more interviews. And so then those would get transcribed, and I would take that and like kind of build it into chapters, and you know, and then we would read over it and, you know, go over it a couple of times, and we send it to the editor, and then the editor would look at it, and then we'd go over it again, and, you know, and then it's just like back and forth, back and forth.
In her private life, like when the cameras are down, when she's a normal human person or as close to normal as she can be, as she is a goddess living on this earth, is she more Erica Jane or Erica Girardi?
She's kind of like both. I mean, you see her like when she's on camera and when she's like working, like her personality is a little bit more performative in a way.
Yeah.
But like Erica Girardi has like the same personality. It's just like three notches down.
Like she doesn't have full glam. Like Mikey's
right.
not there.
No.
When she's like at her kitchen island.
No, like, she's like in athleisure and a ponytail, no makeup on, looking amazing.
Do you know if there's a reason why we didn't see that Erica this season?
No,
I miss the Erica of season one and two.
I don't know. I don't know why that is. And we were working when they were filming. And so I think she was like really busy. And I don't know. Maybe she just wasn't as in the game. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I still think that I still think that Erica of season one and two was the same. But I think that she was, I don't know what.
How do you think she fared this season? I mean, reading your recaps, it's like I feel for you because you're always so honest and have continued to be, and that's why people love you and are obsessed with you. But also, you have this relationship
right.
with a housewife who's on the show. I mean, like, you have a contract with her. You don't want to upset her necessarily, but also one of the things she loves about you is your honesty.
Well, and Erica will be the first one to tell you, and we've, you know, we did doing public appearances and stuff. She'll be like, if I do something wrong, you better fucking rip me to shit. Because, she, you know, she doesn't want me to.
Which is a rarity, by the way, amongst the housewives.
Yeah. And, but also, you know, some of the commenters were like, oh, you need to get out of Erica's ass and whatever. But it's like, I've been an Erica Jane super fan since like the start, since before I ever talked to her or worked with her or whatever.
Right, of course.
And so I continue to be an Erica Jane super fan. And I'm like a Sonia Morgan super fan, an apologist. And
Sexy
she's never
Jay.
Given me a dime.
She doesn't have any dimes to give.
No,
Ryan.
No, she does not. She sure does not. And like, you know, we follow each other on Twitter, but just because of that, it's not like, you know,
you and Erica or
me
you
and
Sonia? Oh my God.
And yeah, but I don't have like a real relationship with her, but yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, people want me to agree with them, but it's like, you're reading this for my opinion and this is my opinion.
Right.
And I love Erica and I think she's great. And you know, and I think that she definitely overreacted like to Teddy when she was like, don't ever say that to me. And she definitely handled some things wrong. And she certainly didn't come across well at the reunion.
So I know that you're not a fan of the reunions. Tell me why.
I'm not a fan of writing about the reunions.
Okay.
Because nothing happens.
That's
and so,
different.
And
right.
there's nothing to like say, because even in the most boring episode, there's like some weird waiter like in the background. And I can write like 200 words about
yes.
like who's this fucking waiter, imagining what his life is like, whatever. But when they're just sitting there on a couch rehashing fights that we have talked about like all season long, and they never come to any resolution. Like, nothing comes out of the reunions. Like, they never, like, oh, okay, we squashed that fight. It's like, no, Vicky still thinks she wasn't lying about Brooks. And everyone else still thinks Brooks was cheating about cancer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just like, it's like trench warfare. It's just them on each couch, like, firing back and forth and nothing happens.
That's so interesting you said that, because I still have whiplash from the realization that at the end of the reunion, right when I thought Tamara and Shannon had the most power in which to bury Vicky and get her demoted to friend of or maybe off the show, they just decided, you know what, I think we're going to be friends. Like, we clearly that up. We've decided
yeah.
we have a bigger alliance, which is the biggest fucking mistake they made in what I thought was a totally forgotten season. I was like, why are you have this 1 ounce of power in which you are sensing the audience is on your side because episodes
yes.
are already airing. You know she fucked up. This is the one opportunity to get rid of her. And instead, you stupid bitches decided to fucking hug her and make up. What was that about?
I think they think that they'll never make the show without Vicky. And I think they might be right.
I think they might be right, but that will make this coming season maybe the most boring of all time. Also because...
Well, are they recasting? Do we know yet?
So I think they've added 2 people, I want to say.
And they kicked out Lydia.
Yeah,
and
Jesus Freak is gone. Kelly's still there. And Megan's no longer. She's having Beyonce twins. And
oh, she is?
Yeah, she duplicated Beyonce's photo shoot to announce that she was having literally.
I don't follow a lot of the Housewives related gossip. You know what I mean?
That's what I do full time.
Yeah. Sometimes people be like, oh, have you seen this? And I'm like, oh my God. Or when the Countess gets arrested, you can't ignore it.
I knew within minutes.
But the rest of that stuff, oh my God. My phone, I was on the train to Fire Island and my phone exploded. And then I was like, oh my God, the Housewives Institute has to address this. And I'm on the train, trying to tweet about it, hooking my phone up to the computer so I could write something.
Wasn't it on Christmas? When was it? Or it was New Year's Eve. It was right around the holidays. It was a gift to America.
No, you're right. That's when I found out about the divorce, was on the train to Fire Island. And it was
The divorce announcement, Damian Bellino, OG of the AG, as we call him, OG of the Andy's Girls, was the first person to tweet her back after the divorce. And I was number two. And it was our proudest moment as a united couple. Was just giving her our prayers. And I think I said it's a hashtag it's about Tom or something. Devastated.
Oh my God, it was crazy. But yeah, so I don't follow a ton
everything.
Of that.
So, but OC, it's I felt a similar comparison was happening. So Vicky, Tamara, and Shannon have this weird hug. And I'm what's going to happen next season? Absolutely nothing. And I felt sort of similarly about Teddy and Erica, where it's it felt there was some actual heat there throughout. And then at the end, they were cool. I think this was super helpful. And they both seemed really happy about it. And I was did we just watch the same show? I just felt it didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I guess they were both happy that they had it out.
Yes.
That even if they didn't agree, at least they were able to speak sort of to each other as well as at each other.
I think that's kind of what they needed, was just to be okay, I'm honestly going to tell you how I feel. And I also think that, I like to view their relationships, especially on Beverly Hills, as that of coworkers rather than friends, where it's we need to get along to do this job.
Yeah.
As opposed to in New York, where it's much more emotional and they have a more emotional connection to each other. And, especially because, New York's the only one with three originals left. So it's Ramona, Bethany, and Luann have spent a decade together. And
literally
Sonia came in, season two or three?
Yeah.
And so it's they've been together for a really long time. And so, there is a lot of emotional attachment with them. Whereas I think with the ladies of Beverly Hills, it's much more transactional. And it's okay, we're friendly and we get along and whatever, but it's different. So I think it was more of a coworker thing, where it's okay, we're both going to be on this show. We have to get along. So we're going to kind of
deal with each other.
Yeah. And I haven't talked to Erica about it. So this is not any insider information. This is just from, what I saw, but I think that's kind of best for the show. I always say with Beverly Hills, I wish they would stop making them fight, because I think that the fights are boring.
Yep.
None of those women want to fight because they're all very protective of their brand. And I'd much rather watch Erica and Dorit go drive million-dollar cars and have fun than listen to their stupid fights about champagne glasses.
Listening to their stupid fights about champagne glasses, pussy, and... I mean, the only fight that is super played out that I could see as being sort of organic is the stuff with Kyle and LVP, because I do think there is some tension there. And when LVP is saying in part three, you're the one that drives this train in a bad way, it's always about you. Indirectly, what she's saying is, because I am not interested in opening up to you in that way. So our conversations are essentially just about Kyle. That I thought was interesting.
Well, I agree with you, but what I think that whole fight is really about is the age old Lisa Vanderpump is manipulating everything on the show,
right?
And they can't say that, and everyone's mad about it, but they know they can't talk about it, so they end up having these weird proxy fights about whatever. I mean, I literally have no idea what Kyle DeReet and Lisa Vanderpump were fighting about this season. They were just mad at each other, and they kept bringing it up, and I think that it was really them saying Lisa, you're manipulating everything on the show, and trying to do all this shit, and we don't like it. But they can't do that because Brandy tried and failed. Lisa Rinna tried and failed. And I think that's a very real thing. And so, because they can't say it, we just end up watching this fight and we're like, what? And that's why I think Erica and Teddy and Lisa Rinna, when they were at dinner in Berlin, they're like, what are you guys even talking about? Because, like, they don't even know what they're talking about. So, yeah, I find it all to be, like, very odd. So I wish that they would just they wouldn't push them to fight or try to make it, like, about fighting and just make it about these rich women. You know, I call it rich women doing things. Right. I wish it was just the rich women doing things. I would fucking watch that show. I'd watch Erica do anything. I'd watch Kyle do anything.
I also feel like they get so much fighting on Jersey, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Total trash, and not even like good trash, just trash. And Atlanta, that
right.
they don't necessarily, I feel like sometimes Beverly Hills feels like they need to try to grasp for the kind of intense fighting, brawling drama on Atlanta, and they're never going to be Atlanta.
Never.
It's just, they're not, it's not, it's totally different. It's apples and oranges. They're totally, totally different personalities.
Yes. And on Atlanta, they fight, but they still have fun together.
Right.
And so it's a very different dynamic that the Beverly Hills women will never get, because they all, like, hold the grudges for too long and whatever. And so they can't, like, fight and the next morning get up and go on a boat trip and just be, like, laughing and kikiing like the Atlanta girls can. Like, that's just not.
And even
the way
like New
built.
York can. I mean, I feel like New York can
totally.
Get their shit together. New York's one of the few franchises where the cast can go to reunion and then potentially go out for dinner after. Where else is that going to happen?
Yeah.
But in a space where these women feel like there's something more than this, it's not just
yes.
about what's happening on camera. So, what did you think about Teddy?
I think that a lot of people relate to Teddy in that she seems like a normal kind of person.
Right.
And so, like, I get that. But I don't disagree with Erica, where she's always pretending, like, oh, I'm this scared little girl in a room full of sharks. And it's like, you got on the show for a reason. And also, you know, I hate that people are like, what's her name? Peggy did this on OC too. Like,
ugh.
Oh, I don't like all this glam stuff. I don't like all this, you know, whatever. I don't like all this fighting. It's like, bitch, it's like going to a steakhouse and being like, oh, I'm a vegan. Like, you know what
Which
I mean?
Which I'm 100% on, by the way.
But you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like you sign up for this show. Like, that's what you're signing up for. And, you know, I get that you know, everyone has their different way of doing things. Everyone has their different style. And, like, that's cool. But don't show up and be like, oh, I don't, you know, whatever. It's like, girl, you went to some weird sweat lodge with your client and, like, sat in a bag in your own juices. Like, you're just as bad as the rest of these girls. Like, don't pretend like you're not.
I feel like if Bethany has trademarked the term skinny girl, then certainly Teddy has it with accountable. And I feel like her goal is to be as absolutely Disney accountable as she can possibly be. Like,
yeah.
She is going to be accountable. And I thought that I would hate her. I just genuinely, because I thought she was going to be another Eden Sassoon and then I
yes.
would actually want to die, because I thought Eden Sassoon was one of the worst casting decisions ever.
Ever.
So I wasn't thrilled about it. And then I don't know if I was just so bored that I found her charming, like riding the ponies and like.
I came around
doing,
on
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I did.
Like,
I
find her to be genuinely likable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that she's like suited for this life, but she's definitely going to get a second season, I think, because people really responded to her. And, you know, and I do think it's good to have a bit of grounding in Beverly Hills, where everybody is so, like, crazy over the top. But, yeah, I wish that she, yeah, wasn't so whatever.
How did Dorit get away with everything that she did this season, of which there was almost nothing? I mean, we're saying the same thing, which is that nothing happened on Beverly Hills. But I feel like Dorit sort of escaped through the reunion without a lot of pressure. And I just find Dorit,
she's
such a special bird that I just was like, how did she survive this when it all seemed to be like Teddy v. Erica and then Erica v. the world?
Yeah. And that's what I think that, you know, I don't know that Erica said it or somebody said it, but I think that Erica did shit to Teddy that Ramona does all the time to everybody.
5 minutes,
and everyone's
right.
like, oh, I love Ramona, but they're like mad at Erica about it. So I don't entirely understand, you know, why everybody, like, when she was like, don't ever do that to me again, like, you know, I understand that Erica was overreacting and that's like wrong, but otherwise, like, yeah, I don't see what Teddy's problem is, whatever. But I think that Dorit's thing is no one knows what she's fucking talking about. And so, and she just talks so much that they're just like, okay. And so I think she gets away with it because no one even knows, like,
what's actually happening.
Yeah, like, what's going on.
It's hard to, like, keep track of the plot versus Lisa Rinna, who used to be excellent at being a shit stirrer, and then for whatever reason, I guess her daughter's professional career has decided to be like a laughing hyena on the side and is doing absolutely nothing but laughing at herself.
Yes.
Which I found maddening, because I was like, if there's one person that can save us with plot, it is fucking Lisa Rinna, who you know hates LVP, who you know wants to be more involved in this so she can come back next season and get some check money so she can go on more vacations with Harry Hamlin to
sell more dusters on QVC.
Sell more dusters and more sex toys to her kids or whatever's happening there. But she just seemed either tired, played out.
This is what I always say about Beverly Hills, is they're all too protective of their brand. Like, none
she
of them.
She really is, but she wasn't before. What changed?
No, I think she saw it and she didn't like what she
press.
Saw. And she, yeah, and she didn't like people not liking her. And she was like, okay, I need to like turn this around. And so, and that's why. And so I think she wasn't trying to get in the fray. She wasn't trying to, you know, stir any shit. She was just like taking a back seat and letting the car drive itself.
Would you fire anyone? Who would you get rid of? Would you get rid of LVP?
I don't know. I feel like relegating Lisa to Vanderpump. I enjoy Lisa much more on Vanderpump Rules than I do on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because I think she's being
totally
herself
agree.
On Vanderpump Rules. Well, I don't know that she's being herself, but she's being kind of like cunty
yes.
and bitchy and imperious
yes.
in a way that she won't be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I would rather watch that Lisa. And so I feel like if she were on, and like she's been doing a lot more personal stuff on Vanderpump Rules. So I'd rather see her do Yulin and that shit on Vanderpump Rules and get rid of her. But I don't think they'll ever get rid of her on the show. And that's the thing is, you know, something needs to happen, but I don't know who to fire and who to get rid of, because, I mean, they are all gems in their own way. I just don't know that it's, like, coming together in the right way.
I mean, I have – this is going to kind of totally go against your, like, not fighting thing, which I totally appreciate and respect. But I think – this will never happen, by the way. But I think the one way to, like, salvage Beverly Hills – and this will never happen, I'm going to say that 8 more times – is if Kathy Hilton –
oh.
was added to cast, then shit would melt down. Because what would LVP do? She's friendly with Kathy.
Yeah.
She's besties with Kyle. Kyle would shit a brick. Kyle is too much power for it to ever happen. Kyle's now like a TV producer, like at
right.
large. But holy shit.
I mean,
that would reset everything. Because you can never have Kim back. Kim
no,
can never come back.
Kim can't come back.
Kim's sick.
Or you could bring Brandy back if you want to go the fighting direction.
Do you think Brandy should come back?
I don't think Brandy should come back.
It was
too
so
dark.
Dark.
Brandy hits below the belt, and
yes.
they're not willing to engage with her in that way. Brandy was great on Celebrity Big Brother. I don't know if you watched it. But
no, I didn't. I just saw the Omarosa clips like on YouTube.
I'm a big, big brother. I'm a huge Big Brother fan.
Oh my god, I need to watch
and
it.
And she was really good. I was impressed with our Brandy. I liked her more
on Big Brother.
Yeah, because she was like stirring shit, but on Big Brother
it's appropriate.
They were like willing to engage in a way that
yes.
everyone else wasn't. But yeah.
I think that's probably there are two options. Kathy, which will absolutely never happen
no.
for several reasons, or Brandy, which I think LVP would be like Vanderpump Rules or Brandy on Beverly Hills. I think she would literally put everything up to say this should not happen. She should not be back on the
yeah.
network.
Oh, no, totally. And I think that's why, because Vanderpump Rules might even get more viewers than
Beverly Hills.
I don't know about that, but it does very well for them. And so I think that, and because she's an executive producer on the show, she could always be like, oh, if you're not going to invite me back, then we're like taking Vanderpump Rules somewhere else or whatever. I don't know.
I think she loves being the boss, and she can be the boss on Vanderpump Rules without feeling like she looks shitty than when she tries
yes.
to do it on Real Housewives.
Totally, because she is literally the boss.
100%. And also Vanderpump Rules, the first episode, who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and I said, you have to watch the first episode of Vanderpump Rules.
Ever?
They had never seen it, and I was like, you need to start with this season. Like, you can go back, but just watch the first episode of this season, because all of that, by the end of the first season, finding out that Jax fucked Faith, and then, like, spoiler alert, they did it in, like, an old woman's...
Oh, yes.
When she was,
you
like,
mean the first episode
of this season. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
When she, like, they did it near... The intimation was that, like, the elderly woman was there, right?
Yeah.
Where else would she be? She's not like...
Oh, my God. Vanderpump Rules, like, gives with both hands. I mean, I...
And Jax receives. Yeah. I mean, truly.
I tried, like... Well, I was angry at it initially because they did that thing where they just elided it with an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills to try to, like, trick us into watching
Sheena
it.
Sheena and Brandy. But it did kind of work.
Yeah. But then I was like, fuck you. I'm not watching the show. And then I tried to watch it a few times. And I was like, okay, I get it. But I'm not into it. And then I started recapping it. And Now I like get it.
I drive through
and
recaps.
I'm like real into it.
I'm super into it. I'm super into Lala's like new beginning.
As, oh
like,
my God,
a,
me too.
As a hashtag. Speaking of me too.
So I have a question for you.
Tell me everything.
I have a friend. So straight guys love Vanderpump Rules.
Okay,
I don't know if
give
you know
me
this.
All of their numbers and I'll contact them later tonight and hear more information.
Most of them are in relationships because I think most of them get into it through their like wives or girlfriends.
Not necessarily a deal breaker.
But then, right? I mean, hello. But so a friend of mine who's a television writer, he writes like very highbrow, like dark television.
Oh my God, I love it.
And he is obsessed with Vanderpump Rules and he loves the recaps. And so we were like chatting on Facebook about it, whatever. And so I asked him, I don't know why, I was like, if you had to be a Vanderpump Rules person, a Sir employee, so not like Lisa or Jiggy, if you had to be a Sir employee,
Jiggy,
who would you be?
Probably not Max. Oh, I wanted to hear their, are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Oh my God, well, I've never been on a private plane, so I feel like I kind of do want to be Lala. Wait, if I could be... I would be Tom Schwartz. You don't actually have to work.
That's true. And you can just be like...
I could just be kooky.
Blackout drunk all the time.
Blackout drunk, cheating on my partner and them giving zero shits and forgiving me each and every time.
Yeah.
I would 100% be a puppy dog. I would be a labradoodle named Thomas Schwartz and I would live my best life. What about you?
I think that I would probably be Lala. And like, I'd just be like fierce and cunty and hot and like fuck dudes for whatever I want.
I also think Ariana is like amazing.
That's what I was going to say. Is I would want to be Lala, but I think I'm an Ariana.
Yeah, I think I'm an Ariana too.
Like, I think I'm kind of like over it and uppity and kind of like, I'm too cool for you.
I also want to see Ariana like doing improv. She says she has a big background in improv comedy. Remember the whole thing with Kristen? It's like, I just want to see that. I feel like she'd be good.
I don't
see Ariana being bad at anything except...
I don't want to see anyone do improv comedy, period. Like, not one soul.
Oh my God, but when they did it on Vanderpump, it was everything. Yeah, I think that Lala had an interesting kind of evolution. She got either media training, better press, well advised, or something because she
Camille grammared the fuck out of it.
She 100% Saint Camille'd her way back into the hearts and minds of America's millions denizens watching the show because it felt like it was it's a totally different person. I mean, she is a true version of a new beginning. She is turtle timing her way to like being the star. I mean, it's like crazy.
I think first of all, I think that like it's weird in that like Kristen, Katie, Stassi are kind of growing up and that like nexus of the show is kind of, especially like Kristen was absent this year and so was Katie. They were both kind of not doing anything. And so I think Lala came up into that like power center of the group. And also I think she realized who the real targets are. And the real targets are the dudes and people talking shit about her. So instead of like going after Katie and this like endless war of
so stupid
nonsense, right? It was like going after Jax to empower Britney and going after James when James talks shit about her and like fighting winning battles rather than just like sniping at Katie all the time, which is pointless, and being kind of like a jerk about it. And I also think that Lala suffers from what I like to call Brandy Glanville syndrome,
is
when you are in the right in an argument, but you argue so horribly that people turn on you. You know how Brandy, like someone would screw Brandy over and she would be mad about it, but then she'd be like, fuck your mother, and like punch him in the face.
100%.
And then you're like, Brandy, I can't support you when you behave like that.
Totally.
I think Lala used to do that. And now like you see James try to comfort her and she just like shuts James down and then like, bye.
Do you think she and James were ever, I never believed that they ever slept together.
I believe they slept together and I believe he is in love with her.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
And that's why he's coming for Randall, aka Rand.
Yes. I think he is in love with her. I think like Raquel is just I mean, the most vacant human being ever.
She's a wonderful little cutout of a person that he can just tape on the wall and have scenes with. I mean, she's totally vacant
she's
in every
awful.
Way.
She's like,
I'm glad she's there because I forget she's there, but it's like a nice little room refresher where like you forget where the scent is coming from. But there is something that's like adding just a touch of like artificial lightness. And I think that's what she provides.
God.
She's that little like Christmas tree that you put in your like Honda Civic from the late 90s.
I love to make fun of her and like call her, you know, like a loomy that somehow became a person, or, you know, a dried Coachella crown that's like sitting on your bureau or something. You know what I mean? Like, she's just like she's so incredibly basic that there's something soothing about her.
Yeah, there is something soothing about her.
In that it's like,
there's a lightness because there's no weight there.
Right.
She's literally air.
Right, and you're not aspiring to anything. You're not, like, trying to be anything.
No.
You're not. You are just this, like, you are, like, a soul cycle class of a person.
She's cotton candy with legs.
She's all those things. And I
think
that's why she's fun, because you can, like, talk about her. But she, like, James is obviously in love with Lala. Duh.
James is in love with Lala. James is a cast member on a TV show, but is staying in an older gentleman's apartment on the couch or maybe floor.
On like a mattress on the floor behind a screen.
I need a spinoff starring Paul post haste. Like,
oh my
I need
God.
A spinoff of a spinoff, and it's like a day in the life of James, and it'll be like 37 episodes long each season, and it needs to feature Paul just wandering around the. I mean, I don't think James is paying rent or
no.
not with money.
No.
I don't understand.
I think he's just paying rent by having coffee in his underwear, and Paul's like, okay, I like to look at that. Yeah, we should have a Paul show, and it's called like House of Twinks, and it's just Paul like living in a house full of twinks who live there for free, and it's like Paul just like dealing with the twinks,
just staring. It's Paul's
right.
not even communicating.
It's like the
Paul's
girls next door,
couch,
but with
salivating.
Twinks. Yeah,
I'm 100% into it. It would be the girls next door,
right? And Paul's like
Paul's bunnies,
and Paul's like Hugh Hefner, and there's just like a bunch of twinks.
It made me kind of. I was kind of sad about it. I don't know why. But I was sad for Paul. I was sad for Paul that he's like, I owe you dinner, even though James is staying in his apartment, and James is like, not right now, bro. And it's like, that's it,
right? Because Paul just wants to spend time with an attractive young gentleman, and I don't think Paul's like trying to diddle him or doing anything.
I don't
think
he would turn down the opportunity.
Oh no, but I don't think Paul is.
I don't think he's like.
Is yes. Weinsteining him or
no,
anything?
No,
like,
he's not putting a pill in his coffee. He's not
no,
doing a Cosby. There's no jello pudding there. Yeah.
No, I just think that he just wants like attractive young straight gentlemen around, and you know,
straight gentlemen.
Yeah, I think James is
bi-curious.
Mostly straight. I mean,
he's from Europe. He's from your soon to be homeland.
I know. I don't doubt that James has touched a penis other than his own, but I don't think he's gay. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, we're living life on a spectrum, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, James is an egomaniac who does a lot of substances. And sometimes, you know.
Yeah, one of them is pasta. When I found out what pasta was, I was like, okay, I feel a lot better.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because there's the before pasta and the after pasta. When I'm like, why are they talking about food none of them eat? And then I'm like, oh, okay, got it. Now
right,
now I'm
like, oh, it's cocaine. We used to call pot cookies in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's like similar.
But and now you can have a pot brownie. Could you have a pot brownie then? Were they like as on vogue as they are now?
Yeah, but you had to like make your own. This was like back in the day. I'm old, girl.
No, now you can just get it on Seamless.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I don't do drugs anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. It's like,
you know,
I mean,
whatever.
Now you can watch James yelling about
do drugs for me.
Quote unquote carbohydrates and call it a day.
Yeah.
I also, I have to say, there's something to be said of, you know, Jax obviously is totally out of this conversation, but Lala's driving the train of like women uniting.
Yes.
And I do love the parallel between feminism as like the driving force, no matter if they actually know what that means, on Vanderpump Rules and Southern Charm.
Yes.
I thought that it was kind of phenomenal. Like the first couple eps of Southern Charm are all around
yes.
like moody music, what's going to happen of
yes.
women joining together, even if there are little dips in the road, like what happened with Naomi and the woman that was dressed like an alien or whatever
yes.
at the party, where it's like, I'm going to slut shame you for just a second, but now I'm realizing that I was wrong. I mean, I think it's kind of remarkable and fascinating. And frankly, even if it was accidental, totally timely, right?
Totally timely. And I think that we got a lot of that last season with that like Shep Chelsea kind of thing, yes, where he was like trying to force himself on her. And, you know,
so weird.
And the guys didn't think it was wrong, but the girls
did. And Austin
did.
Was super weird about it.
Yeah. And Austin, again, was weird about it at the dinner where they were like, oh, if you have true proof about JD, then I'll believe you. And it's like, why don't you believe all these women who are like talking shit about JD? But yeah,
wait,
no.
Why is their word not enough?
Yeah, I think it's very, very good and well deserved. And I mean, I really think that Catherine got a raw deal in like all of that shit with Thomas, and that he's just as bad as she is. But you know, he cast her as like a crazy person and ended up with the kids, and you know, and she's on the outs and has to get her blood tested whenever he wants her to. And whatever.
I also think when she was coming back last season, it was kind of tough to watch because she, yes, was still really fragile and she was kind of, yes, pretending that she wasn't. This season she's being really open and honest with how fragile she's been, and that's actually been really empowering to see.
Well, and it's like, you know, I think I said like she's changing and growing and learning and maturing, which are all things I don't want for my reality television characters, but like in this instance I'm happy for her because she's like getting it together. It seems like she's really internalized like the messages of rehab and therapy and whatever.
Totally.
And is being a real better person. And I mean, it doesn't make for great television, but it's like, okay, Catherine, I want you to like conquer the world now.
Well, and speaking of making for great television, it might not make for great television in these episodes, but I think that when they record the reunion, it certainly will, because T-Rav's going to have to, if he shows up, he might just be summarily fired. I don't know what's going to happen because there are, yeah, these allegations of sexual assault, including against fucking Don, the former nanny.
Oh,
Don
really?
Came forward and said that he assaulted her, like, however long ago. Like, this is real serious. And the production company that produces it is allegedly looking into it. That's before Don came forward. There's settlements that he's paid. I mean, it's not, yeah, great. Catherine is, I think, keeping super fucking quiet on this. And I don't know.
As she should.
100% as she should. And I think, I don't know how they're going to address it, how he's going to allow them to address it, if he's going to show up or if he's just going to be fired for not completing like the terms of his agreement with like Bravo, whatever. Yeah. But I think that all of this work that she's doing on herself, holy shit, as both a person, but maybe also as a member of this cast, yeah, I think it'll pay off because he's going to be no longer, I would say, next season, right? How is he going to survive this?
I think that's a very, very good point. But I mean, yeah, God, he's so awful.
He's so gross. Who would ever have sex with him?
He's so,
and that's super. You
I
would?
Mean, kind of. Well,
it's not going to be good. It's going to be sweaty, and it's going to last how long it lasts. He doesn't care about the other person involved. I don't even think he wants himself to get off. I think he can just get off looking at his like Bank of America account online.
And
like,
just
what?
Like speaking French, bad French,
oh my
to himself
God,
in the mirror.
So bad.
Well, I always joke about Paul Ryan and say that Paul Ryan's like my ultimate type because he's older, kind of fit, and a total asshole.
Oh,
like,
I love
that's
it.
That's like what I'm like. I'm so into Paul Ryan.
Is that your type?
Oh yeah, totally. And like my boyfriend is all of those things except total asshole. He's very sweet.
Aww.
But like he has some like Paul Ryan-ness about him.
Really?
Yeah, and I just love that.
So like, if you were to date one of the guys on Southern Charm, it would be, well, we're saying shtup. We're not saying date. Who would, yeah, you date? Would you want to get crocheted pillows and blankets from Craig?
I would probably date Austin. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend loves Craig and thinks,
really?
Craig like gets a bad rap. And like he's always like the first one to defend Craig. And I'm like, dude. But he's also only watched this season. He hasn't seen like any
of
the old stuff.
So he hasn't seen any of the true lying about law school stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
no,
like
none
of
that.
That's the heart of Craig.
Yeah, I know. So and I've filled him in on that. But he is still like 100% for Craig. Yeah. And yeah, I would probably date Austin. But if I were to pick one to sleep with, it would probably be Shep.
I feel like Shep would be a good time. Shep just wants to have a good time.
Know who else I would sleep with is Chelsea. I think Chelsea is gorgeous.
Chelsea is gorgeous. I don't understand why the men aren't lining up to bow down to her.
Me neither.
It doesn't make any sense to me. She's has a great job. She's like she owns that salon, right? Or something. It doesn't even matter. She's super
She's
kind.
Like the only
She's
one
funny.
With like a steady job.
100%. She's adventurous.
Yeah.
She's smart.
She was on Survivor.
She was.
She was.
Chelsea?
Yes.
I thought they picked her out.
No.
I thought it was totally different
Survivor.
From Cameron, who's on like fucking Real World.
She was on Real World?
Cameron?
Yeah.
100%.
Oh my God. I gave up on the Real World forever ago, but I have watched every season of Survivor.
Oh, I gave up on Survivor forever ago, but I've watched too many seasons of Real World. And so when Cameron was a part of this, I was like, oh, I know her.
Like, what, like, where was she?
I forget what city
it was. But like, how long into the, and was it pre-Vegas, post-Vegas?
Pre-Vegas.
Okay. All right.
And she was a real person. She was with, and Jamie Chung, who's married to Brian, whatever the fuck his name is, Brian Greenberg. Jamie
yes.
Chung was also on her season
Interesting.
Of Real
I
World.
I love Brian Greenberg.
Oh, so do I. I have like such a crush on him. I really cannot.
Oh my God, totally.
I watched every episode of Unscripted. I loved it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I am a huge How to Make It in America
fan.
Oh,
I've never seen.
It's pretty good.
Okay, I'll watch it after this.
Yeah, I follow him on Instagram.
Oh my God, I love. So, listen, before we wrap, we need to talk about New York.
Oh my God. New York is the best that we have to offer. Well, Atlanta is the best that we have to offer. I will say, circling back to our discussion about reunions.
Yeah, tell me everything.
Atlanta is one of the few I don't write about Atlanta, and Atlanta by far has the best reunions. And I think that of all the shows, like, things happen on the Atlanta reunions.
100%. And Phaedra would agree with you.
Oh yeah, totally. And so I like wouldn't mind writing about those reunions. And I mean, if you're giving this season of Beverly Hills three parts, Atlanta should have been a 19 episode reunion, because that was some bullshit from Beverly Hills. But Atlanta is so, the Atlanta reunions are good. So I love just watching them, like, because that's the only one I watch and don't write about, you know?
Yeah.
And
so you can watch it as like a viewer and enjoy it as a
right.
fan.
And so I understand why fans like them and why fans want me to recap them, because they enjoy them. And so my thing is not that I hate and I've tried to be more clear about this. It's not that I hate the reunions. It's that I hate writing about the reunions there's like not much to say about it.
With the exception of Atlanta.
With the exception of Atlanta.
So what do you think? So much to say about New York. First off, Dorinda like came out of the gate chomping at the bit to fucking destroy people on Twitter this week. She really nailed Luann to a cross, because Luann in her blog like referenced that it wasn't a good look for Dorinda to behave the way she did. And Dorinda was like, well, I wasn't arrested in Palm Beach, and why
right.
would I take advice from a stupid drunk, which was not great.
This is my theory on Dorinda, and I felt this way last year, and I think it's true again this year, and I think it's going to be very controversial, and it's that Dorinda is mean, especially when she's been drinking, and she like comes out swinging at people in a way that I don't find very savory. Like when she, like when they were at brunch and Sonia was like, we've heard about your dead husband a lot. Like, she was obviously wrong to say that. But then for Dorinda to be like, you lost your husband because you were sleeping around with people all over, blah, 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 was definitely taking it a step too far. And I think that people like the fun, crazy, zany Dorinda and forget about how cruel she can be.
I think you're totally right. I think alcohol lowers your inhibitions, but also kind of reveals
yeah.
who people are. And I think she has so much anger about the way her life is. If I was John Modestian watching this week's episode, I'd be like, cool. So why are we dating still? Because
yeah.
she's essentially outright saying she's trying to focus her social media presence on being angry at Bethany and being angry at Luann. And I think that's a little bit to try to avoid the fact that she had a very serious conversation about the fact that I've been dating someone for 5 years that started 7 or 8 months after my husband died, and I've outgrown this relationship, and I don't know who I am now
right.
because I've been with him. And I wonder if being single would reveal more of who I am going to be from this moment forward, but I'm also scared of being alone. I'm scared of my life.
Right.
I miss my dead husband. I wish he was here. I miss our life in a way that's, to me, a lot more tragic than Sonia, because I think Sonia misses the environment and the lifestyle.
Yes.
And I think Dorinda, with every part of her soul, misses her one true love.
Yes.
And I think that's different.
I 100% agree with you on all of that. And yeah, and I think that Dorinda manages to live in the present while missing her husband.
100%.
Whereas Sonia's living in this sort of idea of the past in a sort of Blanche DuBois way. That is very unhealthy.
Very unhealthy.
And yeah, and I think that Dorinda is right that Sonia needs to get over it already. But I mean, baby steps. She's getting rid of that townhouse. She's
for $30K a month, allegedly.
I know.
Or maybe a dollar.
I mean, that's a good chunk of change.
It is. It's, if someone's going to pay for like the chipped everything and the cold water, who doesn't love a refreshing shower? Maybe Pickles will come back and like help or something. I don't know. It's, I can't imagine her getting more than 10. I have no experience in real estate. Some paging Frederick, he's available. I'm sure his spinoff with Bethany has been canceled. Like, I don't know. I don't know how she's going to make this happen, but she'll try to sex her way to the top. I mean, like what? I don't know. I don't know who's going to rent it. I don't know. I'm glad that she's now understanding that she cannot actually become Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's great, that, but I don't know how this is going to work out.
I mean, I also feel like if she can scrape together enough money to fix up the house and get like $30,000 a month for it,
yeah,
like that and the show will provide her with a nice income. And, you know, she doesn't need to live in that big townhouse. And hopefully once she like gets out of living in that past and the daughter's gone and she can kind of move on a little bit, she'll, you know, it's like a few steps away, she'll start making leaps and bounds. I hope for Sonia T. Morgan, but I also don't want her to learn and grow and mature because I love writing about her. Oh my God, so much.
She's your favorite floozy.
Oh my God, I adore Sonia Morgan. I just like just watching her do anything I find is hilarious. And yeah, and you know, I'll defend her because I mean, like, I get all that's wrong with her and I get how awful she is, but she's so good.
Who do you think is more cutting at their worst, Ramona or Dorinda? Or Bethany?
I think Bethany or Dorinda.
Yeah, like actual carbohydrate.
Oh, my God. Now we're going to talk about Mez because we ate so much pasta. Oh, my God.
Are you team Bethany?
Team Bethany? I don't know. I find Bethany to be highly unlikable and completely unaware of how unlikable she is. But I will say, she is legitimately doing God's work in Puerto Rico. And like, we have never seen a housewife step up to this magnitude like she has. And that is really that's really making me like her. And that, you know, some people, oh, she's doing it for the cameras or whatever. Who cares? Like, who cares why she's doing it?
Someone's
like,
doing it. Our government isn't doing it. She's doing it.
Right. Like,
thank God.
Bethany fucking Frankel, of all people, is doing it. And so, like, good. I'm glad it's getting done. And so, yeah, that's making me like her a little bit more. But I think that she was on the show and she was kind of like the poor one. She was kind of the underdog. And so she would be like snarky and kind of mean to everybody and whatever. And everyone loved her for it. And she went away. She made all that money. She had her own show, whatever. And she came back and she was the same way. But she came back as the alpha, like as this rich woman who all the other women were trying to impress. And so instead of punching up, she was now punching down. And I don't think that she recognizes that. And I think that made her very unlikable. And so that she's just the same Bethany as she's always been. But the direction of it has sort of changed in a way that I don't think she ever really compensated for.
I feel like I think you're so right about everything. And I also was an original, like, OG Bethany diehard. Like, I've seen every episode of Bethany Getting Married, Bethany Ever After. And I have loved her since the first season. You know, when she and Jill were going at it, season 3, I was 100% team Bethany all the way.
Yes.
And now it's like when she came back, there was such a disconnect between definitely how she saw herself, how everyone else in the cast saw her, and then how the audience saw her. And I was like, well, Bethany just doesn't live here anymore. This is a totally new person. And it can't be blamed on money. I think it's money. I think it's fame. I think it's success. I am willing to give her 100% some allowances because of the divorce. But
I don't think it's entirely that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no.
And I also don't think the divorce is entirely her fault. I mean, like, I think that there's some shit there. I think that all of the pressure that she and Jason had on each other to be Happily Ever After and then working on Skinny Girl together, there were so many moves that she made where she was like, you have to be a part of this with me. You have to. And then when it blows up and she's like, well, he wanted too much. And it was like, sweetie, like we have the tapes of him saying, I don't know if this is a good fit. And she's like, no, you need to be the guy. I like need you there.
Right.
And then she comes back after the failed TV show. She's gotten some bumps in the road. She's gotten some hits. And it just, she just felt so, she felt like the countess that she used to make fun of.
Yes. And absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and then she's back. And then, like, her first season back, it was like, oh, I'm here, but I'm not really here because I'm so busy. And, oh, I'll show up for a little bit of this, but not that. And it's like, girl, either be on the show or don't be on the show.
100%.
And, yeah, and, you know, it's like you can't just show up for the things that you want to show up for. And then she was, like, hawking Skinny Girl all the time, which I get that's why you're on the show. But then it became so unsavory. And I feel like now she's at a good point. Good point, especially because maybe this is because I'm team Sonia Morgan, but she's trying to understand people's sides more. And something has changed within her. Something is not the same. I think something has changed this season, and I'm ready. Maybe it's just the halo effect of the charity work. But yeah, she seems like more understanding and like Bethany, but listening to people in a way that she hasn't the past few seasons. And so I'm interested for that. Maybe it's because the Jason stuff is finally behind her. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that the real storyline to watch this season is the Bethany Carroll storyline.
Please, because that's exactly where I was going with this.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Because I am so confused.
I think that Bethany says, you know, Carroll has more in common with Tinsley because they're not married and they're single and whatever, and they have friends in common and whatever. And so I see how there's that natural progression from Bethany to Tinsley. And I also can see how it would always be the Bethany show when you're with Bethany. And I can see how that would start to grate on Carroll, where it's like, you know, you're always doing what Bethany wants to do. You're always talking about Bethany, like dealing with Bethany's ship, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I don't know where I stand in this fight. Like, I think that it's a very precarious place, but I am very interested to see how it plays out.
I also wonder how much of it is going to play out in real time versus on the show, because Bethany is doing things legit to be passive aggressive. Like, she's saying Carol wouldn't be good for Puerto Rico because she'd be too concerned with what she's wearing. And it's like, yeah, but Carol worked at NBC News as a journalist and was in War Zone. So isn't Carol and doesn't have an issue that you know of, having been a cast member on the show for several years, revolving around drinking. So like, why wouldn't you invite Carol? And saying that, you know, Tinsley stepped up to the bat with donations, and Ramona did, and then not mentioning Carol did as well. And Carol saying, I showed up to your birthday with $300 worth of roses, which, P.S., who's spending $300 worth of roses? That's completely insane.
Well, and then there's this whole thing with Adam, and Bethany says that, you know, she invited Adam to come be a photographer for her, and he asked how much it paid, and she said it didn't, and then he said he couldn't. And, you know, I mean, and she's like, oh, Adam's an operator. And like, yeah, that might be the case. But also, you know, I couldn't go for a week with you to Houston and work for free and not be able to do any of the work I would get paid to do anyway, you know, and lose that money. And, you know, and I'm in a pretty good place in my life, but I couldn't just pack up and at a moment's notice and go do a week of photography for that. So, like, I don't quite understand that ask of it.
I feel like,
and yeah,
Bethany doesn't think that Carol was a good enough friend, and Carol's like, cool, when does our friendship begin? Because there's a give and a take here, and you're not giving me anything, but you're taking everything.
Yes.
And I think maybe Adam was like a step too far. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's all kind of strange to me, and I'm hoping that more happens as the season goes on. I'm hoping it's not all like behind the scenes. Carol seems relatively interested in calling out the bullshit, like on the blogs and online. Bethany is less interested in playing the game, and I wonder if it's because she has whiplash because of Jill versus she just doesn't want to participate in this. And if she feels like she's getting some positives, she doesn't want to, you know, get a reaction of fans that's against her. I don't know.
Well, I do think it's interesting that Carol has finally come to play.
Yeah, who knew that it would take losing her friendship with Bethany in order for Carol to become Carol?
Yeah,
but thank God she did.
And I do like that Carol was kind of the voice of reason, and she's the you know, for us, the kind of way into the series and whatever. And yeah, now I think she's ready to throw down with Bethany. And that seems to me like she feels like Bethany has done something for her to defend. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does.
Like, yeah, like she feels really put upon in some way by Bethany that we have yet to see exactly how or why that is, but yeah.
Well, I can't wait for it to play out. This has been so magical. Brian Moylan.
I have one more question before we finish.
Oh my gosh, please.
It's a New York question.
Yeah, yeah. And guys, stay tuned for the after show on TV Party because we're going to get more quality time with Brian and me. You get to see our fun faces. I'm like a little shiny today, so I apologize.
Oh, I've been moving all day,
yeah,
so I'm sorry.
And it's rainy.
Okay. Do you think...
Tell me everything.
Jill Zarin should come back.
Oh my God, Brian Moylan. Oh my God. I just touched Brian Whelan, by the way, guys. Don't be jelly. Yes.
Really?
100%.
Okay.
I think she's ready.
Yeah? Like, do you think New York is ready?
I think that would fuck up so much shit in a great way. And the only way to really, really because Tinsley's like nothing. Like the only way to recast is to bring back an OG specific to New York. Ramona would have a spasm. Ramona would be like scary eyes every moment because she wouldn't know what to do because they have a real actual competitive, like weird friendly friendship. Sonia would be confused. Lou would love it. I think that Bethany would love it and has been intimating on shows that if anyone were to come back, it should be Jill, which is shocking.
Shocking.
Even when they were recording at the funeral, Bethany wasn't really into it and was making snide comments.
I couldn't believe that there was that page because I followed. I mean, I say I don't follow the gossip, but I follow the Jill Zarin gossip because I'm obsessed with her. And it was like weeks after the funeral and she posted that thing in Page Six about like, Jill's tired of being dicked around by Bravo. You know what I mean? It's like, girl, the body is still warm and you're like trying to get back on the show.
The fact that they filmed at the and that Bethany dropped off Skinny Girl wine or something at the Shiva, like... And the fact that Bethany's in a place now where she's like, I need a friend. And she's looking around. She's thinking, you know what? Jill wants this so bad that I bet she would be a quote unquote true friend to me.
Yeah.
And how crazy is it? It's like if Brandy came back and like bowed down to LVP, but it's not actually really that. But it's kind of amazing. And we have Bethany and Carol's fight to thank for that because I think Bethany would have too much power otherwise, but she needs an ally and Jill wants back on the show. So it's a win for both of them. Jill has literally said on social media, I'm looking for things to do. I think it would be great. And I think they'll bring her back maybe temporarily as a friend of.
I think
they'll go from cameo to friend of to full time. I don't think they'll necessarily bring her back full time next season.
No.
It would take someone else being fired, and I don't know who that person would be.
I think the Camille Grammer role is the best role for Jill in that, like, she can be around a little bit and get the fan, you know, support and Jill, I love Jill, but not be too much in it. Like when she ruined it all for herself and went like full on crazy at Bethany thinking it would be good TV and like ruined it. I think that a friend of is a good way to go, but I'm afraid of bringing her back full time. I think it might be too much.
Because you think that she's like too desperate for it? What do you think?
I think she's a little too desperate for it. And I think that she is difficult to work with, and I think that that's what really did her in, is that the producers were like, we can't handle Jill anymore, and so when they were looking for people to get rid of, it's like, you know, get rid of the one that annoys you the most,
which,
you know?
Andy has referenced,
yeah, totally, 100%,
in like all of his books and everything else. I mean, she would call him like every moment of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, and then remember she came back on Watch What Happens Live, and then there was that whole thing about how she taped it so that she could play it back and they cut stuff out, and it just got like crazy.
And she would call Watch What Happens Live if there were polls that were done about her and she felt like they were ineffective, or she made them recount polls that are done in real time on Watch What Happens Live because she felt like they weren't real.
Yeah.
Like she's not.
No. And she's like, the day Andy Cohen fired her, he ruined her life. And that's why I'm obsessed with her. And that's why I write about her so much, is because, like, this is it. Like, this is everything to Jill.
Have you heard from Jill specifically? Because she does feature in all of your New York recaps?
Yeah, she comes in at the end and we have a little moment. Some people love it, some people hate it.
I like the kidnapping stuff. The kidnapping arc I was 100% into.
Yeah, and like she used to be like a spy and like, and it was all just like trying to get back, like she would do anything to get back on the Real Housewives. And so like the first time I did it, she was doing this whole thing, and then like the end game was that she kidnapped Andy, and she had kidnapped all the other housewives, and she was like, I'm going to kill you all unless you put me back on the show. And, you know, that was kind of my, like, ridiculous Jill Zarin thing. But now, this year, it's a little bit different. We're going, like, in a Bobby direction. And she's kind of, like, you know, like, more, like, knowing, being with Bobby and knowing that he's sick and missing him. And, like, that being more important to her than the show. But...
So has she reached out to you at all? Do you think that she must be aware of it? I know she's reading everyone.
Oh, totally. She has every single Google alert on everything she can get. And so the first like season or two I did it, she like reached out to me like on Twitter or something, and we talked on the phone, and she was like, oh, thank you for keeping me relevant. Thank you, you know, for still talking about me, like whatever.
Little did she know.
And I was like, okay, Jill, I'm happy to, you know, whatever. And then... somebody told me she was on Brandy Glanville's podcast talking shit about like Bravo makes stuff or Vulture makes stuff up about me and I'm going to sue them for defamation and like blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I don't know what to think, but.
Oh, my God. Well, can you imagine if she comes back on and then you're like recapping her in real time? Like that would
Oh, my God. Well, she was on last year and it was like I almost like. It almost broke the internet. It was almost as bad as when I had to recap the episodes that I was on with Erica.
Oh, my God. Which were phenomenal, by the way.
Thank you.
And we still have the... I was about to say we still have the funeral to look forward to, but that sounds slightly terrible.
Yeah, but...
we still have the funeral to look forward to, which is slightly terrible, but also factually correct.
Well, and I mean...
and them almost dying in Colombia.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This the boat. Girl, we haven't even gotten... to the arrest and rehab yet.
It's like this honestly, this season of New York is one of the best seasons of any franchise in Real Housewives history, bar
none.
And
we haven't even seen it yet.
We haven't even seen it. Literally, it's like every week I'm like, how many times can I watch this and still be like a relatively healthy mental health human being? Like, I just can't get enough.
There are some people that watch some Housewives shows, but not others, which I mean, I think is ridiculous, even though I don't watch Potomac, but whatever.
You should watch Potomac.
I know. I think I've finally gotten it.
But just skip season one. Just start season two. Yeah.
But so I've been telling people who are like Beverly Hills, Atlanta people, like if you want to start New York, like now is the time. Like, girl, I'm telling you, get in now.
And there's a Berkshires thing where some guy pops out.
It's a murder mystery, another Roaring 20s theme. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. I literally cannot wait. So you're going to have to fly back from London.
Yeah, you know, I watch it every week.
Amen.
And be like, hey, I'm taking the red eye back to watch Housewives.
This has been such a total pleasure. So guys, head over to TV Party, the TV Party app to watch exclusive video content. Tell me how pretty I am. Tell Brian how amazing and handsome he is.
Thank you.
Feel a little shiny. Guys, such a pleasure. Thank you so much. This
is oh my God.
Like,
it's
a real
so much
joy.
Fun.
This is
I
so
love
much.
Talking Housewives with somebody who is as knowledgeable and invested as myself. So thank you.
Can I be the executive secretary of the Real Housewives Institute?
I feel
Can I be
like
a paralegal?
I feel like you should be like vice president of drinking fountain maintenance at the Real Housewives Institute. I think that could be your official title.
You guys, I'm the vice president of drinking fountain maintenance at the Real Housewives Institute. And now I can die. So I can't wait to get on that plane in a couple weeks and read your book. Guys, everybody read a copy of Pretty Mess if you haven't already. But I assume you have because everyone in the universe has a copy.
I think you should. Yeah, you definitely should.
I think you should do it. And I look forward to many more amazing moments with you online and off. Brian Moylan, such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And the Andy's Girls, our own little cut the hole.
Yeah.
That's what this was. Amazing. Okay, bye, guys. See you next week. Bye.